last name. Is that all right with anybody in here? We just want to dance and clap our hands in Jesus' name. But we're covered by the blood. Hey! We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. Come on and clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
Hey, hey. Clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel
be all right.
Transmitting. All day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all
right. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hallelujah. You'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. For just a little while, we want to call your attention back to the scriptures that were read for baptismal preparation, Romans 6. And let's commence reading at verse 1. Romans 6, beginning at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? In. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Want to talk about walking in the newness of life. Walking in the newness of life. There are some who have experienced new life, but Paul alludes to the fact in this letter to the Romans that they have not experienced a new walk in the life that they have now been given. A new life is one thing, and experiencing a new life is another thing. Walking in it is yet still another thing. And one of the things that I want us to look at, just so that we'll be understanding in the terms of what God would have us to know, that we will have a better understanding, is this. Verse 21 of the fifth chapter says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he picks up in chapter 6, verse 1, saying, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now let's get the understanding clearly for we go any further, because if we do not, the rest of this makes no sense. We need to look at it first in spiritual terms so that we'll understand the implication here of what Paul's writing referred to. First of all, he likens these realities in the spiritual realm and natural realm to things that we can identify and understand. He talks about sin. Notice it is without plurality. It is not sins, but the word sin. And we're going to pick up later and deal with that, because in verse 6 again, notice the word is not in plural form. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. If you go to the 7th verse again, it is there without plurality. For he that is dead is freed from sin. It's important to understand how it is picked out. Verse 10 says, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. It's important. Verse 11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He moves on, and it's important. Verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. And when you look again and see how God pulls all of this together, verse 14 said, well, 13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't get scared to say it now. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now again, verse 21 of the 5th chapter makes clear again, for that as sin hath reigned unto death. Sin had its power and its purpose and its plan to rule and to reign in every sinner's life until they died to sin spiritually, meaning they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he who has only he could do, paid for the penalty of our sins. We then transferred our allegiance and our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a new master now. His name is Jesus. No longer is it Satan. No longer is it the devil. No longer is it Lucifer. No longer is it Slewfoot. No longer is it the enemy. No longer is it the evil one. No longer is it any other name you know him by. It is now Jesus. Now, listen to this, because you need to understand, once you accept Jesus as your Savior and you accept the plan of salvation, your sinful nature dies then and no longer has a right to rule or reign over you. In other words, before you were born again, you could use the saying and the phrase, the devil made me do it. Now, some of the old saints remember Flip Wilson, and he made that little saying very popular, and it certainly made its way in the church and so forth, but that was only applicable before they became born again. Once you become born again, the devil no longer has power, authority, or the ability to reign or make you do anything. I want to throw out what the saints in Bible study already know, that every time you consciously sin, it's not because the devil made you do it. He may have influenced you. He may have enticed you. He may have tempted you or tantalized you in some sin, but you sinned, here it is, because you wanted to. If you'll be real today, you'll think about what you did last night, last week, yesterday, this morning. And as it related to sin, it was a conscious choice. I'm talking about the things you knew to differ from God. It was a conscious effort, and you did it because you wanted to. Preach, Pastor. Now, here's what you need to know, because if you know that that is the case, then no longer can you blame the devil for making you do anything you didn't want to do. which means that you have to take responsibility and accountability for your new life and the new walk in your new life. Can't have new life and old walk. They don't go together. It's like mixing oil and water. As long as you're stirring, it appears to go together. But when you stop, oil and water will separate one from another, because the natural properties in each other have a difference with each other, and you can't make them come together when they have a difference. Jesus and the Word of God makes clear, how can two walk together except they agree? So when you are in sin, you are under Satan's command, and Satan has the authority before you are saved to control your old man or your old nature. Now listen at this, because the Bible says, again, 5:21 of Romans, that as sin hath reigned unto death, it had the power to reign over you until you became saved. When you became saved, that old nature died. That was controlling you no longer had authority over you because it died. Then notice what the word says. Even so might grace reign through righteousness, just as sin reigned in your natural or old state or old existence of life, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Just as sin reigned in your total life until you became saved, now since you're saved, grace ought to take over the reigning of your life through eternity through Jesus Christ. In other words, now when you die to sin, when you accept Jesus, your old life and lifestyle ought to begin to change, because you have new management underneath the skin. You have a new agenda. You have a new direction. You have new goals. Now listen to what verse 2 says. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, the question is asked, how is it when we are dead to sin and trespasses, how is it that we can act like we're still alive in it? Anybody you've ever seen stretched out before us in a casket here who was dead, never ever got back up again and act like they were living? Not one. Matter of fact, if they would, you wouldn't be sitting there. So since they died, they did not act like they were living anymore. They did not have any rights to life anymore. And so as a result of that, you never saw any activity of them anymore. Am I right about it? Now don't get so spiritual you can't figure out and understand the implication here. It's the same thing in the spirit. Once somebody dies, they're not getting back up again and acting like they're still alive. It's amazing, because every time we go to deposit another body in the graveyard, the cemetery, nobody is moving around there but the people who are taking the dead body. Matter of fact, when I go there, I never expect to see anybody from the graves getting up walking around. I can talk to them, but they don't talk back. When I pass and see other bodies that I've deposited there and speak in Jesus' name to the spirit of those by saying, God bless the spirit of so-and-so, God bless so-and-so, so I never them say, yeah, and God bless you, Pastor. I don't even look for them to respond. But I do have an issue on Sunday morning when I'm talking the truth to people who are supposed to know the truth, when they should bear witness to the truth and they can't open their mouths like they're dead. I have an issue with that. Because if you are alive unto grace and you are dead to sin and trespasses, there ought to be a witness in the house who could say, I ain't what I used to be. And so grateful. No, I'm not perfect yet. No, I'm not everything he wants me to be yet. But I thank God I'm not what I used to be. I can shout now to the glory of God. I always have to understand how folk can call themselves saved and don't act like they got no salvation with them. And
And this is what Paul is dealing with, because he's dealing with the evidence of being saved and having authority over sin. I'm not saying, nor is he, that you will be perfect, but there is a perfection you ought to be seeking. Listen at the text. Let it speak for itself. It says, again, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We participated in his death. The old man died. So just like Jesus died, we too have died. The old man, the old nature. The old nature. It's talking about the spirit of sin. Your old nature is the spirit of sin. It is that authority and power in the old nature that causes one to sin, because it was the spirit of the sinner supreme, who is Satan, who controlled you in the old man or the old nature. But when he died, he no longer had power. He no longer reigned. Look at what the word says, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And so when that person who has confessed Jesus as his or her Savior, and they get into what we have termed as the liquid grave, it is an outward show of an inward reality. We identify with Jesus' death. So the old man dies. So if he's dead, he needs to be buried. And so there are those who take that person who has confessed Jesus, who has died to the power and authority of sin. He is now taken under the water, which symbolizes being buried. You only bury dead things. But the scripture said Jesus was only there for a little while. 3 days later, he rose again. Now, because this burial is just identifying with Jesus' death, in whom we have our being, we live and we move, it is in Jesus that we have the resurrection power. It is in Jesus that we have this new life. So then when we are raised back up out of the water, we then are raised in the resurrectional likeness of Jesus, which means when we come out of that water, the complete identity of his death and burial and resurrection is complete, and we begin to walk in the newness of, like you buried the old man, here comes up a new man. Now, lest you think that it's a magical, mystical changing of your whole lifestyle momentarily. No, you made a choice to make Jesus your choice, to make him Lord of your life. He was Savior when you went down in the water. He was the Savior of your soul. But when you came back up, you then positioned yourself for him to be Lord over your life. Now, there is a difference between Savior and Lord. He couldn't be Lord until he first became Savior. Now that you're saved, he wants to be the one who you understand you get all your directives from. You no longer listen to Satan and are moved by Satan. You get your orders from the Lord. It's whatever the Lord wants. It's yes, Lord. And whenever Satan calls you, you need to tell him, I'm sorry, you got the wrong number. The old man don't live here. Click. Yes, Lord, what were you saying? I wish I had somebody here. Now, don't get me wrong. Every now and then, like bad creditors, Satan will call you up and act like he know you. Hey, John, yeah. This is John. Yeah, this is John. I wish I had somebody. And Satan will try and fool you just as... I just want to make sure, because I thought I had that connection with you. We got lost somewhere. But then you recognize, wait, no, Satan, we can't be having this conversation, because I belong to God. Do you know the word is filled with saints who have turned around and gone back and backslidden and backtracked? And Satan always desires to pull you back in to the old experience. Why? Because that's the only place he had power. So that's why you need to be careful when you stumble on a photograph. And it kind of makes you laugh. And it takes you way back. Back. Thank you for you being honest. Some of you holier than thou saints, just, I know you know it. Satan wants to bring you back, because if he can get your mind back there, he can get your body back there. He can get you back there. If he can get you where he used to have you. Talking about something, I remember when we were friends. We were. That's when he had control over you. You had no. He was the only one who was in control. Can I tell your neighbor, Satan don't want you to have control. He wants to have control over you. Now listen at this. When you understand the nature of sin, Satan don't want you just to commit an act of sin. See, since you've been saved, there are episodes of sin. Satan wants you to live in sin. That's why John, 1 John picks it up and say, if we say we have no sin, some of us are lying. Because all of us ain't been perfected and brought into his presence yet. Some of us are still living down here and we have sin. But then he picks up and says, if we in the 9th verse confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all righteousness. It doesn't give us a license to sin, but when we do, we don't stay there. We get up from there, repent from there, and get back on the right track. And I don't care if you're a fresh, brand new saint today or you've been on the battlefield 50, 60, 70, 80 years. The reality is this, that Satan is still trying to get you back. So listen at this word, because I want you to see this here. Verse 5 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. He was raised with all power. In his hands, he went down not because he was defeated, but because he was devoted to what his Father's will was, and that was to redeem mankind through a source who was worthy by God's standards, and that was Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, knowing this, don't be fooled, don't get it twisted, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, the nature of sin, the spirit of sin. We are no longer servants or slaves to sin. When you come to that revelation, when you really come to that, you need to know that there's some stuff you're doing you don't have to do. You got the power to say no and mean no and leave it at no. Because God, through Jesus, has empowered you to be able to say no to Satan and to sin, and has delivered you from the body of sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. We have been freed from the sin nature. We are dead to sin. In other words, when sin comes up, and sin, this is literally the picture of this reality of those of us who are born again in sin. When sin used to be able to move us and shake us, stir us up, get us all riled up, make us do what it want to do, now that we're dead to sin, when sin come there, we ought to be like this. Your eyes are closed so you don't see nothing. Your ears are deaf so you don't hear nothing. You're like in a comatose state so you don't feel nothing. I wish I had somebody here. Because you're freed from sin. In essence, sin ought not have the effect on you now that it used to have on you. Anybody remember the effect sin used to have on them? You ain't been saved that long that you can't remember what you used to enjoy. You ain't that old that your memory done played out on you, that you don't remember what used to be good to you that wasn't good for you. Many of you ain't forgotten how it used to be to dance all night long but can't stay in church but 2 hours. Many of you don't remember what God wants you to remember, but you can sure remember how you could drink the person next to you underneath the table, but you can't get drunk in the spirit. Preach, Pastor. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You don't have to run from sin no more. Now you make sin run from you. God changes your appetite. He changes your agenda. He changes your activities, and he changes all of the arenas you used to live in. And shares and shows to you that there is a new day and a new way that you are to walk. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. If we died with him, we shall live with him in authority, in power, in glory. Isn't that what the word says? Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death, would you turn that off, whoever that is ringing here? Death hath no more dominion over him. Listen at this. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. You remember Jesus saying, no man taketh my life, but I lay my life down. And if I lay it down, I can take it up again. Well, at the appointed time, in the fullness of time, Jesus laid down his life and he died. He said, all right, Satan, let's get this thing on. Let's go on and let's do this, because once I die, once, I won't die again. And when he would die the death, then not of sin as we did, but as an example for us to be able to show us that after death, the resurrection of life, when God raises you as he raised Jesus, the first fruit of them that slept, then we are raised in glory and we're raised in honor and we're raised in power. And what the devil had control over us in the life before this resurrected life, he no longer has access nor authority to control us again. We are in a new place and in a new position, and Jesus is the one who is in control now. So listen at this and notice this again. It makes clear so that we can understand. If he dies once, he will not die again, because death hath no more dominion over him. If death has no more dominion over him, then that means death can't make him die. Death